had the stones to come out naked outside the ring.
I was a kid. I was traumatized.
My God, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for inviting us inside your headphones today. Broadcasting to 165 countries around the world with one big podcast. Welcome, everybody!
What? Pretty intense.
Oh, yes. Welcome back to Triple M's Top Rope. My name is Andrew Rose. With me, the baby face, David Nash. How are you, Nashy?
Hey, we have a new order of introductions there because someone's missing.
Yeah, no, Chris Gayle not with us this week. Does anyone have any idea where he is? What's he doing? Maybe ref training or something, or learning how to be an entrance ramp? Who knows? But Chris can't be with us this week.
We're not entirely alone, though, are
no,
we?
No, you're right, Nashy, because we have a very special guest this week on the show. Daniel Vito, former NRL player, now part of the WWE development system in NXT. I'm very excited to talk to this guy because he has such an interesting experience from being a professional in one sport and going over into wrestling. I'm really excited to talk to him.
We saw Jarrod Hayne do it and it flopped. This is not a flop. This is not a Jarrod Hayne situation.
This is
this
a legitimate.
Is legitimate.
Yeah, it's a real dream, right? He has a real dream and he's going to chase it. Listen, speaking of dreams, Nashy, it's been an absolute whirlwind dream of wrestling for wrestling fans over the last 3 weeks. We haven't done a show for a couple of weeks for a reason, and that is because shit is changing every 5 minutes in professional wrestling right now. There is so much going on.
I tuned into Raw when they had the new season of Raw, the season premiere of Raw, and sure. I didn't hear Michael Cole's voice. And I thought, wow, Michael Cole has finally, not finally, Michael Cole has disappeared into retirement. He can go walk his dogs
yeah.
and he can do his sit-down yoga for the rest of his life. And then I tuned into SmackDown and his voice is on SmackDown. I mean, this is the guy that he was the voice of SmackDown when it started, when yeah. I started watching SmackDown.
Isn't it crazy?
That change is monumental. But I think that's because of Fox.
Yes, because of Fox. And I think we should start with WWE, you know, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, because SmackDown's moved to Fridays. They signed this new massive deal with Fox that we've known for a while now. They're going to go to this debut. And for the first time in probably a long time, maybe even ever, SmackDown feels like the more important show to WWE. Do you feel that too, Nashy?
I think this could be the most important thing to happen to wrestling in a very long time.
Yeah.
And the cross-promotion that you're seeing with the Fox Sports NFL personalities, that tells you that this is crucial to Fox, the network, and they are getting right behind it. This could be one of the biggest things and best things to happen to wrestling since barbed wire ropes.
Yeah, since someone figured out how to wrap barbed wire around a baseball bat. There's been nothing more creative and more exciting. But yeah, it is interesting because, you know, the debut on SmackDown, did you notice immediately the Fox debut? It felt like a different show from the get-go. The staging had a lot of octagons on it. Did you see that?
I couldn't get past the AC/DC song as the
yeah.
intro.
AC/DC as an intro, and then a lot of octagon imagery. And, you know, Brock Lesnar's out there, blah, blah, blah. But I thought it was really interesting that they also said goodbye to Shane McMahon on that episode. Him and Kevin Owens had that ladder match where Shane McMahon is now fired from WWE. And Kevin Owens said, "The great, you're fired," and he's gone because they want it to be feel more like an actual sport. They don't want those overbearing authority figures anymore. And I agree, it's probably a little bit played out, right?
And to see a ladder match on SmackDown again, this is an indication that they are taking this move SmackDown to Friday nights on Fox so seriously, and it's already paying off.
And I know it's a couple of weeks ago now, but how did you feel about Brock Lesnar beating Kofi Kingston for the title in 7 seconds?
Okay, all right. I average one correct estimate per wrestling calendar year.
Right.
And I already got Baron Corbin to win King of the Ring. When I said out loud on record, on Top Rope, that Kofi Kingston would retain, that is a sure sign that Kofi Kingston should lose. And he did. So if I ever predict anything now that I've already used my one right guess with Corbin, you know I'm going to be wrong.
Well, it's crazy what happens there because, you know, Brock wins the title and out comes Cain Velasquez. We'd heard stories and seen a couple matches of him in Mexico learning to wrestle and picking it up intimidatingly fast, like scarily fast.
And I get messages from my buddies who aren't WWE fans but are UFC fans messaging me saying, this is cool.
Mm.
So clearly there was a plan.
Yes, there was a plan. And also we saw Tyson Fury, like the greatest boxer in the world at the current time, standing face to face with Braun Strowman. I think if people are wondering why this stuff happens in WWE, you said it perfectly. It's because people outside of WWE suddenly go, hang on, Cain Velasquez is going to fight Brock Lesnar in Saudi Arabia? How do I watch this?
Is this a cartoon that I'm...
Yeah. What is this? It's amazing how they do that. And people act like this is some new thing that WWE are doing. They've been doing this forever. In WrestleMania, Muhammad Ali was there, and they've had sports crossovers. Mike Tyson,
the baddest man on the planet, the pushing enforcer. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Do you remember how badly he did the crotch chop when he revealed that he was part of DX? I've never seen a worse crotch chop in my life.
No, the thing that was worse than the crotch shot was the fast three count at WrestleMania 14.
Oh, the worst.
That was lightning quick.
Who can forget Money Mayweather facing off against the Big Show at WrestleMania? Yep. I mean, this stuff works. I don't know why some wrestling fans are scared of it, because it's great to see those crossovers. It was insane to see Cain Velasquez walk out on a wrestling ramp standing next to Rey Mysterio. What is going on?
And there is the backstory. So as someone that doesn't know a lot about UFC, Velasquez, as I've been informed by my UFC buddies, is the one that knocked Brock out.
Took his title from him, knocked him out. And that's why Cain said, in Saudi Arabia, I'm going to put a scar on the other side of your face now. But he said it
in Spanish. So.
That's true. He had to be translated.
Ray had to translate it, yes.
Let's jump over to Raw really quickly, because SmackDown's firing on all cylinders. They've done a draft. They're over there on Fox. It's only going to get bigger and more fantastical at SmackDown. But this is a new era of Raw, a relaunch of the season. And Paul Heyman is a big deciding factor on who's come over to Raw and stuff. I still think the biggest subject we're talking about on Raw currently, I know he's going to SmackDown, but currently is The Fiend, right? And at some point, we're going to have to get into this, Nashy, because this just drives all wrestling fans up the wall talking about, did you catch Hell in a Cell? Did you see that main event against The Fiend and Seth Rollins?
I think Brazzers, the porn website, put it perfectly. If you want to build up with a good conclusion, call us or something.
Look, I know a lot of our listeners are probably not going to like me right now, but I loved that match. I don't care what anyone else says. I enjoyed that match. I thought the red lighting was kind of like a Tarantino movie, and it was all violent. And I've never seen someone just go finisher, 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 finisher on a guy like that before.
But it devalues every finisher that Seth Rollins hits.
Yes, but this is supernatural, Nashy. We can't be okay with The Undertaker appearing out of nowhere in rings, levitating, shooting lightning into ring posts. We can't be okay with all of that and not okay with a masked Fiend alter ego being able to keep standing up. We are watching a horror movie in a ring, Nashy.
Yes, we can be okay with that, because The Undertaker's parents were burnt and we are offering sympathy to The Undertaker, okay? It's a completely different thing.
All I'm saying is I didn't hate it as much as everyone else did. I understand it was a non-finish and people wanted to see a finish, but all that tells me is more Fiend and Rollins. I'm fine with that.
So why are people hating it?
I think, I know a lot of
why
people...
Why do people hate it?
You know what? One of the core reasons is because they feel like it's devaluing the Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell used to be this thing that decided blood feuds. If Shawn Michaels and Triple H fought forever, they always would decide the entire feud in a cell. And I think some people are feeling like Hell in a Cell now for 2 years in a row has ended in a no contest, in a bit of a schmozzle where nothing's really decided. So I think there's some wrestling fans who are just grabbing onto the Hell in a Cell should mean more kind of stuff. Right?
Oh, wow, a wrestling fan taking things a little too personally and criticizing? Yeah, wow, that's not wrestling fans. You must be thinking of fans of The Bachelor.
Yeah, sure. The other big question people had was, how can you get disqualified in a Hell in a Cell? Well, the point is, he wasn't disqualified. The ref didn't disqualify anyone. The ref called the match off because he didn't want any more violence, right? So it's not a disqualification. Lachlan's freaking out right now. Lachlan, get on the microphone. If you're going to argue, don't wave your arms around. Tell me why you're not happy with that opinion.
I don't know how you can have a no contest or no disqualification in a Hell in a Cell match where mankind has gone through. There's been tacks on the ground.
Yeah, but that was a different time. We live in a PC culture now. You know? Referees need to keep their jobs.
So when it gets too hectic, they just call it.
Well, wasn't there a ref that got in trouble in the UFC last week for letting a fight go on a bit too long after a guy got punched in the face too many times?
Possibly.
Yeah, exactly. So we're living in a different world. We should be angry at the ref. We shouldn't be angry at anyone else. We should be angry at the ref, right? And I understand why people are angry, but this is wrestling, guys.
That ref is the mum at those primary school sleepovers that doesn't let you watch the M15 movies.
That's right.
That's who that ref is. How good were those sleepovers, by the way?
Yeah, they were amazing. Look, I'm going to make all the fans that I made angry just then with that statement about Hell in a Cell, I'm going to make them happy. AEW rules. All right. So AEW Dynamite has started on a Wednesday night in America. It's going head to head with NXT. And so far, it's crushing it with the ratings. It's absolutely crushing it.
How long did I give it initially?
I think you gave it 5 minutes. How are you feeling so far?
What is it, 3 months now?
It's gone pretty well. It's going pretty well. Look, I love having an alternative. I love having it. I love WWE. I love AEW. I love everything they're all doing. And we'll talk about this a bit later in the show after our chat to Daniel Vito, that about fans, you know, hating the thing they love. But AEW is just come out of the blocks killing it with this Wednesday night Dynamite show. And your boy Chris Jericho is the champion.
Yeah, but have you ever watched Usain Bolt win the gold medal in a 100-meter dash? He starts behind. All those guys are sprinting heavy at the start. Okay. They all get run down.
Right.
So they can do all these things. They can have all the bubbly that they want. Even if it's Chris Jericho, AEW, I may have been a little harsh with 5 minutes, but I don't know if we'll be talking about AEW in December.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll see, because they've already started the groundwork for what is a company that can move forwards, right? So, you know, the Cody Rhodes family is kind of a bit of a thing. Here's something interesting. You know how in WWE they call that spot just before you walk out on the curtain the gorilla position, named after Gorilla yes. Monsoon, who used to stand there?
Is that why they call it that?
Yeah, named after Gorilla Monsoon, because he would sit there and go, all right, go, as you'd walk out on stage. So they
called I thought it was something to do with, you know, gorilla marketing and gorilla radio by Rage Against the Machine.
Against the Machine, yeah.
Thought it was something there.
Here's something interesting. In AEW, it's called the Dusty position, and right before you go out, there's a plaque of Dusty Rhodes, the father of Cody and Dustin, and the cowbell from his cowbell rope match.
Clearly, they've had to make some budget cuts and they haven't got any cleaners at AEW if they're calling it the Dusty Ring.
Yeah, clearly none of them have ever Googled the Dusty position. Don't do that. It's not going to be what you think. But look, AEW is killing it. Chris Jericho started a new faction called the Inner Circle, and the big surprise was...
That's a rap group.
The Inner Circle?
They did the theme for Cops.
Oh, did they? Bad boys.
Yeah, I think that's Inner Circle.
Wow, hopefully that's their entrance music. Wouldn't that be great if Chris Jericho's Inner Circle comes out to Bad Boys? You know, I hope you're not thinking of the Perfect Circle, are you?
No, I'm not thinking of James Maynard Keenan's other band, but...
No phones, please. So he started the Inner Circle, and the big surprise was Hagar. Hagar's joined, who was Jack Swagger in WWE. And yeah, you remember Jack Swagger? He's all serious now.
Oh, Inner Circle did... I want to make you sweat. La 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 long long long.
Oh yeah! Please welcome to the ring, Chris Jericho. La 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 long, la 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 long. I like it. Look, they got a lot of really interesting talent in AEW. A lot of guys we haven't seen much of. Orange Cassidy is someone who's killing it right now. Who is here this weekend for the PWA Coliseum tournament, which I'm very excited to get to see him. You know, do what he does live, but. I'm surprised, Nashy. I thought you'd be way more into AEW with your boy Chris Jericho carrying that pretty belt around.
I've got a lot of things going on outside of my wrestling viewing, okay? Single life is daunting,
well,
okay?
I've had to cancel everything, Nashy, because there's just so much goddamn wrestling. But I do enjoy that Thursday morning for us here in Australia now is the Wednesday night in America. NXT and AEW go on at the same time. And not since I was a teenager have I sat with two screens watching two wrestling shows at the same time.
Can you please describe your life as a teenager quickly?
As a kid, you'd have to flick. You'd have to flick channels, right? You have to go click, click, and then click from WCW to Monday Night Raw.
You watched them both at the same time.
Hell yeah, I did, dude. I didn't want to miss anything. You go, Eddie Guerrero's wrestling. Oh, I'll watch WCW. Oh, here comes Mankind. I'll flip over to WWE. Oh, Hollywood Hogan's going to do another promo. I'll flip over to WWE. So there was reasons to watch both, but you never did that?
No, we didn't have a remote. Oh. We had to get up, and we weren't getting up to change the channel. It was whatever we were stuck with, and we were WWE guys.
All right, well, let's wrap this up, because Daniel Vito is outside the studio, ready to talk to us.
He's bashing down the window.
He's ready to hurt somebody, but we're going to talk to Daniel Vito, and then join us after that, where we talk a little bit about why wrestling fans hate the thing they love. You're on the top rope. The time has come here on the top rope. You're with Rose and Nashy. We've got a very special guest in studio. This man played 120 games in professional rugby league, played for teams like the Raiders, the Broncos, and the St. George Dragons. You'll be happy about that, Lachlan. He's now over in America chasing a dream that we wish we all could chase. He's part of NXT now in development. Daniel Vito, welcome to Top Rope.
Yeah.
How you going?
It's so good to have you here, man. How's everything going? How's your travels here into Sydney and everything?
Yeah, really good, mate. Obviously, it's a bit of a trip across the seas, but mate, I'm doing really well, thanks.
Yeah, you're a rugby league player, so you must be used to the constant travel, right? That's just like getting on planes is your lifestyle.
Yeah, normally it's a bit shorter than that, but I'm adapting, mate. It's been a crazy journey so far.
Yeah, I mean, I want to talk a little bit about that transition from rugby league, because I do a rugby league show with my co-host Chris Gale here in Sydney,
and he thinks that's as close enough to playing rugby league. He thinks that's the same. Listen, did you see where he was going there? He thinks it's the same.
It's
because he reports on the results.
Listen,
he thinks it's the same.
It's the closest I'll ever get, Nashie. All right, give me this. Is it true that Nigel Vunganar was a huge part of inspiring you to maybe look into the career of professional wrestling when you were playing rugby league?
Yeah, definitely was true, mate. That's what happened, and it was very, very left field. But when it came up, I was a bit shocked at the start, but then everything just fell into place.
What was the first moment of contact? Was not talking about you at rugby league, but I mean about verbal contact. Was it WWE speaking to you, or did you approach them?
Well, they were with Nigel. They were talking about getting rugby players, and I came up into the suggestion. So when that came up, it was also followed up with an Orlando kind of tryout thing where I had to go over there and to see, you know, what I was like. Could I talk in front of a camera? Can I roll? Can I flip?
What's two things? Plus two?
Yeah. No idea. No. But it was pretty crazy, mate. So I went over there, and then all of a sudden I find myself in front of William Regal and people like that, and I meet Triple H, and I'm like, wow, it's crazy.
So you knew all of the wrestlers because you were a fan as a youth or as an adolescent?
Yeah, I think we all were fans when we were young. That don't try at home thing, I think that was something that made everyone try it.
Yeah.
So, everyone had their trampoline, and I was one of those kids doing the flips off.
That's weird. I always saw that don't try this at home. Never tried it. I was terrified of getting hurt.
It said don't try at home. It didn't say don't try at school. Don't try at the next door neighbor's home. Don't try on the street.
Yeah.
Don't try at work.
Different rules there.
In that audition, Daniel, when you were, getting that tryout and getting to show what you can do in front of guys like William Regal, is it true that you did the Samoan haka for them?
Yes, it was very intimidating. There was like 50 of us, and we were all got these armbands on, and they all have a number, and I was number 7.
Whoa!
And anyway, we're doing all these roles and stuff, and all of a sudden, Matt Bloom, the head coach, stopped everyone and said, "Vito, do you know how to do the Samoan haka?" And I said, "Yeah, well, the Siva Tau, because it's called the Siva Tau." And he says, "Yep," and I was like, "Yeah, I can do it." He goes, "Do it right now." He just put me on the spot.
Boom.
And so remember, I've got William Regal on one end, Triple H. You've got Shawn Michaels on your right. And I'm sitting here going, wow.
Far out.
And I just went for it, man. I just went 100%. And it was pretty cool. Everyone kind of clapped me after. And yeah, obviously I got a good reaction.
Yeah,
good
reaction.
Why do you think they asked you to do that? Do you think that was to see how you could do with some improvisation?
Definitely, I wanted to see if I could, be gutsy and just come out like that and
put
be random like
there.
That.
Yeah.
But they also knew that. That's what I did, playing for Samoa.
What did you call? You called it something just before. What was the name you called it?
The Siva Tau.
Now, Siva Tau, I've heard as well that that was something you added to the Samoan haka as well that's still done to this day. Was that something that you helped add
yes.
to it?
Yes. Right at the start, when all of us are in a huddle, I came up with the part where you say, Uso Aso Uma.
Right.
And then everyone yells out Uma and breaks out of the circle. So that was
what does that mean?
So that means brothers forever.
Right.
And then forever. Was when everyone parts away. So
right.
That's something I came up with, and it kind of stuck, and it was a cool start to the Siva Tau.
Yeah, right. And when you got offered, when you did the haka, and then you got offered, the contract, was this something that immediately you were like, yes? Did you need to be talked into it in any way? Was it something you had to decide, or was it just a straight, I'm in?
Yeah, well, it was definitely a massive sacrifice. If I was going to leave my family behind, which is everything to me, and everything else I've got here in Australia, to go across the seas over there to the other side of the world, it was a massive risk that I was taking. So there was definitely a lot of thought. And there was a person that I talked to over there, one of the Usos is Jimmy. And I asked him, what does this take? And he told me it's not going to be easy. It's going to be very hard. But, mate, my life has always been a challenge. So I don't like being comfortable. So I took it with two hands, mate, and here I am.
Did you know Jimmy Uso before you went over there?
No, I met him when I went over there. So obviously, just being Samoan,
yeah,
he kind of came up, like they did set something up where he came and talked to me and stuff and told me about it and
yeah.
kind of twisted my arm kind of bit. But no, mate, he's a very genuine person and he told me how it was and that's what I wanted to hear.
It's something we always talk about here on Top Rope, and I always say this to a mate, is I don't think I've ever seen a bad Samoan wrestler in my life. There is something in their blood that they're just built for this industry. Do you feel like you're coming into a new family in a way when you came into wrestling with all the Samoans that are in there?
Oh, 100%. They make you feel very welcome. And yeah, that's my whole thing, mate. Warrior is in our blood, so that's what they want to see. So at the moment, my character is the Untamed. You know, I'm still going by this Vito. But the Untamed just means like your wild side. Let it run free and be yourself. Wear your heart on your sleeve. So it's basically what I used to do in rugby.
Yeah.
Which part of wrestling do you think, which aspect of wrestling do you think you have picked up most naturally?
To be honest, it's probably reactions with the crowd.
Right.
I feel very comfortable in front of crowds. Mm. Being a rugby player, especially at Suncorp here when I was at Bronx, it's always, you know, a good crowd. You get a good turnout.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought I was going to stir the pot here. But
Broncos supporters, mate, can be a little unpredictable.
What's a fire without a bit of fuel?
Beautiful.
That's how you get a crowd going.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's a reaction right there.
You're a big drama class kid, right? You loved drama in school.
Yes, that was my... I was a straight-A student in drama. Wow. That was my thing. So yeah. I performed in a lot of productions and sang as well. Yeah, it was something that I enjoyed.
One thing I'm curious about... you know, professional wrestling is something that we love here. We're fans, and our show is about being fans. But something I notice a lot about wrestling fans is that they can kind of be a snake eating their own tail sometimes. They love to hate the thing they love. You know what I mean?
And I've never heard that before.
Well,
eating their own tail?
Yeah. It's you know, they hate the thing they love in a weird way, and they'll critique it a lot of the time. And that's similar to rugby league, right? Because rugby league fans love to hate rugby league, and that's why they love it. So you come from a world where you're highly scrutinized as a sportsman in rugby league. Are you prepared for, like, you know, that same thing to happen when you get into the limelight of professional wrestling?
Oh, mate, I'm extremely prepared for that.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to have haters and the naysayers and whatnot. But, mate, as I said, sometimes the fire needs fuel, and that's what that is.
What's been the hardest aspect for you to adapt to in wrestling?
The hardest aspect is probably... initially, it was probably hitting the ropes.
It hurts more than you think.
Mate, it hurts. My back was bleeding for a couple of weeks. And now my back, it's just callouses up and it gets used to it. But it was crazy. I was like, wow, I didn't know it would be this hard. So stuff like that, the flips. I'm pretty lucky with the flips, actually, because of the trampoline days. But I kind of stayed on the trampoline. I wasn't the one chucked off. So
yeah, no one's getting you off the trampoline.
That was good. That helped a bit.
And, you know, there's such an amazing, you know, as well as the Samoan movement in wrestling, the Australian movement has been incredible. The likes of, 100%. You know, Bronson Reed and Shane Thorne and Rhea Ripley, all these amazing Aussies coming through NXT. Is that also something that you're keeping close to your heart as you're going through this process?
Yeah, definitely. They're a good bunch, and they've helped me a lot as well. You know, those guys are all, like, Rhea's killing it at the moment, and same as Bronson. You've also got Shane, which is just Shane.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
He's a Perth boy, isn't he?
He is a Perth boy. I'm the only Brizzy boy, and I'm the only East Coast, I'm pretty sure, so everyone else is from the South or Western Australia.
What about that Elliot Sexton bloke?
We don't say his name on this program.
Why don't we talk about Elliot Sexton?
Oh, you total flogs, yeah?
Yeah.
We don't talk about Elliot Sexton on this program.
Why not, Nashie?
In 2012, he stole my girlfriend.
Oh!
Is that
the
true?
The story is...
That
this
does
is
not surprise me.
Why I used to drag my girlfriend to Melbourne City wrestling shows while I was the announcer. And she got there a bit late. This is true. She got there a bit late. And I had to go and open the show. And I was chatting to Elliot Sexton at the time. And
you were chatting to him too.
I'm friends with him. And I said, hey, my girlfriend just arrived. I've got to go open the show. Do you mind chatting to her, introducing her to some of the wrestlers? And they met that night.
Mate, what's a snake eating its own tail? Yeah. Here we are, Elliot Sexton.
6 months later.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
We don't mention his name.
Well, I'll tell you something. He has not changed.
So let's focus on, you know, one of the big things that's coming up this week, which is WWE comes back to Australia. And we always love this as fans because, you know, we don't get the chance to see it all the time like the Americans do. These tours are so important to us to get to see not only the biggest stars in wrestling, but the evolution You know, when are we going to get some Vito in one of these rings in Australia? Are we getting it soon? What's going on? I'm dying for some more Vito.
Well, I can't really give anything away, but I may have a little event at one of these shows.
Exclusive.
So I might have a little bit in one of these shows. I can't really talk about it.
Mate, I'm
too
sure
yet. I don't even know myself, mate. But I did get told to bring my stuff. So
bring your gear. I love that. There. Bring your gear. And it must have been amazing to see someone like Buddy Murphy, another Aussie, last year in front of an MCG crowd. You know, Australians just grab onto an Aussie no matter what the sport is. That must have like fueled you, drived you, seeing something like that.
100%, mate. Yeah. Australia's always been like that with anything. You know, whether it be rugby, soccer, whatnot, it's awesome to have a crowd like that behind you.
Now that you've made the transition from professional sport here in Australia to wrestling, is there anyone else in Australian sport that you think could make this transition?
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, that's some of the reason that I'm here. I'm actually here to scout some more.
Radio announcers.
Well, I don't know. We're going to have to ask Elliot about that.
He's looking for talent, Nashy.
Why don't I do what I did for Elliot that night and bring the talent to him?
What about... that's true. Oh, my God.
Wow.
We're cool. Me and Elliot are cool. We're both Adelaide Crows supporters.
Oh, God.
We get along. Me and Elliot are cool.
What about someone like Nick Kyrgios? I reckon he'd be a good wrestler. He's got the smack talk down already.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a good option.
What about your mate Valentine Holmes over at the NFL? He'd be all right, right?
Yeah, well, at the moment, I'm pretty sure he's happy, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Oh, you never know.
I have a few options. I think these Australian sports people would transition into wrestling very well. You ready?
Yep.
All right.
David Warner, the cricketer.
Oh, yeah.
He's willing to cheat to win. And sandpaper would add a nice touch in a hardcore match.
He is the Eddie Guerrero of cricket. That's true.
I'm not finished there. Okay.
Oh, there's more.
Ben Cummins.
Okay.
He was the referee in the NRL Grand Final who called six more. If he's capable of that, he is capable of bigger ref screw jobs than Bret Hart in Montreal.
I'm loving this.
He ain't
refing
my match.
My final one is Lance Franklin from the Sydney Swans.
Buddy.
Big money contract.
Yep.
He only played 10 games this year, so he obviously likes one of those part-time contracts. You know who I'm referring to?
I love that list. Daniel, it has been so good to talk to you, man. As wrestling fans, and especially Aussie wrestling fans, we're so goddamn proud of you guys over there making, you know, waves in places like NXT and WWE. We wish you all the best with the future in WWE, and we'll be watching every step.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, it'd be awesome to see you guys at the shows coming up.
Nashy, hit us with those dates, son.
Sydney, Monday 21st. Brisbane, Tuesday 22nd. And they're in Melbourne on the 23rd. That is a Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Three nights in a row of wrestling in Australia. Oh, it's big.
Fantastic. And don't forget, Elliot Sexton stole Nashy's girlfriend. Thank you, Dan.
You get the tickets.
What a total flog.
You get the tickets via Ticket Tech.
Thank you, Daniel Vito.
Cheers, mate. Catch ya. Top
Rope. You're back on the Top Rope with Rose and Nashy. Just talking to Daniel Vito. How good was that, Nashy? He's a nice guy.
And he's got Believe written on his neck.
Oh,
I believe that was a Justin Bieber album. I'm sure that was the inspiration for it.
I always get scared of the calm ones. You know how calm and chill he was? I always get scared of the calm ones because you just know he could break out and kill both of us instantly.
But did you see the look in his eye when you said, can you handle the naysayers and the haters? He lit up.
Yeah.
He's going to live for being a bad guy.
Oh, I think he's built for it. He feeds off this industry. He's built for it. Like, he talked about how much he loved drama but also loved full contact rugby league. I mean, he's been grown into a wrestler, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do, right?
Well, yeah, the dates for the WWE events, it's Qdos Bank Arena on Monday the 21st. That's in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Brisbane at the Swamp, the Brizzy Entertainment Centre on the 22nd. That is a Tuesday night. And then in Melbourne, Rod Laver Arena on the 23rd. That's a Wednesday.
Get to those shows because Daniel Vito kind of hinted towards us there a little bit of a sneak peek that he might be, they told him to bring his gear, which is always a good sign if you fly all the way to the other side of the world and bring your gear with you. There's a chance you might get in the ring and get a bit of a tussle going on, right?
Hopefully they didn't say, bring gear with you. We don't want them doing any of the naughty stuff. Well,
he wouldn't have got through the airport, right, if that was the case, without great border control. But, I'll be there on Monday night at the Sydney show to check him out. I'm excited to see Vito go. All right, Nashy, I got to talk to you about something that's really been annoying me the last couple of weeks. And I know, once again, I'm going to make some listeners of this show angry.
It's not the haircut, is it? I know you didn't like your most recent haircut, which is why you're wearing a hat again.
Yeah, I didn't like my most recent. You're right. I am very hung up on my most recent haircut. But that's my fault. I went to the wrong hairdressers, right? So that was my fault. But look, I want to talk to you about being a wrestling fan. This is something that kind of, I don't know if I'm a weird case in this. I don't know what the deal is. But wrestling for me, my entire life was a solo endeavor. I had no mates who lived around me that liked wrestling. I watched pay-per-views alone.
Sad.
Yeah, it is sad, but it you know what? It grew such a strong connection to the sport, right? And I remember the WCW, WWE war days, and I remember loving both. And then I remember when I finally started meeting other wrestling fans, it shocked me how much they didn't enjoy both. Like, there would be fans who'd be like, no, I'm all WWE. WCW sucks.
My last name is Nash, and people would come up to me at school and say, hey, Kevin Nash, and I'd say, yeah,
right. Okay. So you were a big WWE kid.
Yeah.
Right?
We didn't have any WCW on at our household. No way. That was the Nash household. And we still didn't watch it. And there's Kevin Nash wrestling Goldberg.
Right. I totally get it. Because in every other sport, that's how it works. You pick a team, you wave their flag, and you're with them for life through good or bad. So I understand the same way. And I love WWE. I would still say today is WWE is the number one company that I watch. And it's the number one thing I'd turn on when it comes to wrestling. I'm also a huge New Japan fan. I'm a massive AEW guy. I love all the other wrestling. But what I notice, especially with these last couple of weeks, Nashi, with all this new stuff debuting, especially with AEW coming in, is wrestling fans are so mad, so angry at each other all the time.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we said this to Daniel just before in the interview about wrestling fans who love to hate the thing they love. It's a snake eating its own tail.
It's like those friends who love to complain about their marital spouse,
yep,
but they love them to death at the exact same time. It's as if we need this. We need to have that thing to complain about. And we've all got the friends that will watch it every week that are fanatical, that will watch multiple promotions.
Sure.
Yet they will criticize it at any opportunity they have.
And I'm going to say this, and this is, you know, I'm not going to say any names or any shows, but there is wrestling over in America, a lot of the wrestling review and wrestling media shows, just like us, they're fans, right? But some genius one day decided that star ratings was the way we were going to rate wrestling matches forever. And what that did was it encouraged every person now to star rate a match. So you've got these kids, you know, teenagers sitting on the internet critiquing someone's superplex. Oh, that guy doesn't know how to do a cross body drop the right way. Do you know how hard it is to do a cross body drop off the top, Nashi?
I once watched wrestling with this exact person you are describing.
Right.
And I think someone hit a 450 splash and they said it sucked. And
oh my God.
I said to them, how did that suck? How was that bad? And his response was, well, he kind of fell into it.
I mean, yeah, that shit drives me crazy, Nashi, because we are fans, right? If you listen to any episode of Top Rope that we have done, we do not sit here and critique moves. We don't critique someone's ability to perform in a ring. We talk about
Except
our own, of course.
And the Goldberg versus Undertaker.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah,
That was an absolute train wreck. We had to tell other drivers on the road to avoid the train wreck or you're going to be stuck in traffic for hours. But no, look, I'm being silly, but honestly, I do not understand why the go-to reaction for a lot of wrestling fans now is to hate wrestling. I don't get it. I understand if you are so happy about AEW starting. I am too. That doesn't mean I hate WWE because of it, and WWE suddenly sucks because AEW exists. Cody was an amazing wrestler in WWE. He didn't get a million times better just because he moved to a different stadium with different branding on the walls. And Rey Mysterio was an icon in Mexico. He didn't get less of a wrestler because he came back to WWE. I don't understand sometimes how their brains work, Nashi.
I think they get this sense of empowerment by being able to criticize something that you think is high quality.
Oh.
If you think it's good,
yeah,
then they think it's bad, then yeah, they are so intellectually superior, they can see something that you can't.
That's a really good point. I think you're right. I think that's why a lot of dudes do that. It's because it makes them sound like they know something we don't, right?
It's like the neckbeards when they talk about girls that they don't think are hot. Oh, nah, she's got this, like, thing on her face.
Yeah, yeah.
A freckle?
Yeah.
just because you know she wouldn't bonk you, you just want to criticize her. Dude. You dirty neck beard.
You've got a twin brother bulging out of your neck. She would never look at you in a million years. Why are you critiquing her? Stay in your basement and shush. No, look, I love wrestling fans, and I love the passion that everyone gets when something like the last month happens in wrestling, right? Everyone's going nuts. But what I say to to the listeners of this show, I implore you, is to enjoy wrestling for what it is. If you don't like a show, turn it off. That's fine. You don't have to watch it. The ratings
break up with that girl.
Yeah, the ratings are what they care about. But if you spend your entire time saying to everyone how much wrestling sucks now and how it was great back in the day, you're the same as that old dude at the back of a metal show who just complains about how all the new bands suck and no one will ever be as good as Black Sabbath. Are you with me on this, Nashie, or not?
I'm with you. I still think it's sad you didn't have anybody to watch wrestling with as a youngster.
And look, it made me the man I am. You know, I'm happy in my own skin. I just sit at home alone and scream at the wall.
Did you not get to take Mondays off school to watch Royal Rumble?
Well, I did, but I wasn't allowed to. I would jig school. You know that? I would jig school. I would pretend to go to school. I'd put all the school outfit on. I'd put my bag, go, bye, Mum and Dad, and I'd leave the house, and I'd just walk around the block four times until they left the house. Then I'd go back in, and back in those days, you'd have to call Foxtel to order a paper, so I'd call as my dad. G'day, I'd like to order Hell in a Cell 98, please.
Quick Southern State translation. Jig in Victoria and South Australia is wag school.
Oh, sorry. Yes, wag school. I would jig school. I would pretend I was going to school and then I wouldn't go.
And then pretend to be your dad and book pay-per-views.
Yes, I would pretend to be my father. And you know what I'd do? I'd sit there and I'd love every second of it. Even the Headbangers matches. I wouldn't sit there and complain about how they don't know how to do a 450 splash. Listen, I know I've ranted about this, Nashie, but thank you for letting me vent to you because I want to see wrestling fans get along. You know, it's us against the world sometimes.
We could take over the world if you think about it. Yeah. We all got along.
Yeah. Let's just all get along a bit more. That's the message I want you to take from this week's Top Rope. There's more wrestling than we could ever dream of to watch. Let's all get along and don't go anywhere near Daniel Vito. He'll probably kill you. He's a very dangerous man. Nashie, thank you so much for spending this time with me on the Top Rope, brother.
It's always a pleasure.
There's more wrestling than we can poke a stick at, and we're going to talk about it all here on the Top Rope. Stick around. We'll see you next time.